Turning this evening for a few moments to one of the passages that we read earlier in the Word of God in Luke chapter 2. And in verse 14, the angels sang this song: "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Now, as they sung this song, we are told that first they had announced to the angels the birth of the Saviour, Christ the Lord. And simultaneous to that, a great light shone round about them, startling these shepherds. And I suggest to you that it was all the more startling because it was night time, and there was no natural light other than perhaps the stars in the heaven. And so it would have been all the more impressive to these alarmed shepherds. And the message of the Word of God concerning the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ is all the more startling and glorious because it comes to us in a dark world. And Christ's world was a dark world, not only physically because it was night time here, but because of the state of things. We live in a world where there are so many things that we can describe as being bleak or dark. There were those in Christ's day who were filled with great bitterness and hatred and resentment at the prospect of the birth of Jesus Christ. Herod and the authorities in Jerusalem were greatly troubled, Matthew tells us, when news filtered through that a new king had been born. And they did all that they could to put his life out. There are those in our day who are deeply resentful at the coming of the teaching of the Word of God and the claims of Jesus Christ to be a true king, and that he claims that his word and the authority of it, the warnings, the instructions, the promises, have something to do with us. No, they dismiss these things. They say that these things have no place in the modern world. Many of you will know that a well-known atheist, Christopher Hitchens, died this week. He was a man who had a deep hatred for the Bible and all that it teaches. And when asked concerning God and heaven and so on, he said, "As far as I can see, heaven is like a celestial North Korea." How blasphemous to say such things. Friends, this evening, he knows only too well that hell more resembles North Korea than heaven ever does. Heaven is described in the Word of God in all terms that are positive and glorious. The implication, you see, of that statement is that he regarded God as a tyrannical ruler and he wanted to have nothing to do with him. It was a dark day then, and it's a dark day in which we live too. In Christ's day, there were those who were deaf and blind, and they came to the Lord for healing. But he also drew attention to the fact that they were deaf and blind with regard to spiritual things. They did not know him when he came to them. They did not understand his word when he taught them. They did not appreciate heavenly truths. They could not grasp these things. And friends, the world is no different today. We are born blind and deaf. Spiritually speaking, we do not conceive and grasp in our minds the reality of the things of God, his awesome majesty, his absolute holiness and purity. We do not realize how stained and polluted our lives appear in his holy sight until the Lord opens the eyes of our understanding and touches our souls and brings us to appreciate these things people in Christ's day were poor. We know that because Christ himself was born into a poor family. There were beggars who lay by the side of the road, the dogs licking their sores, and they pleaded for a few pence here and there. Perhaps we feel that our world is increasingly impoverished, and we read the headlines regarding the economic situation, and we feel that these are desperate times. Perhaps some of us here, we fear for the future of our job and our family. People today are hurting. About 10 days ago, someone I do business with shared with me the fact that his wife had attacked him with a biro and completely lost her cool. And it wasn't the first time. And he said, "I've had to leave. Things are so bad, I can't remain. Next time it will be a knife." He's hurting big time. He's got a little daughter of 16 months. He's desperate to see her. But things have become so bad, he's been refused access. Now, he's no angel. I know for a fact that he is far from perfect. But there's hurt there. On both sides, no doubt. Families are hurting today through these things. There are others, perhaps, who have serious diseases and illnesses. They are hurting. Others with minds that are not thinking straight. People are hurting for all sorts of reasons. And perhaps we ask the question, why? Some of us, perhaps, we've had a gadget or a toy brought for us for Christmas over the years, and we've unwrapped it and we've taken it out of the packet, and in our enthusiasm and folly we've just started putting it together or using it, and then it breaks and we feel utterly ashamed of ourselves because we know why it's broken. It's broken because we didn't read the maker's instructions. Perhaps we've seen our children act in such an impatient way too. We bought them a lovely new toy or gadget or something, and they've immediately took it out and snapped within 5 minutes. It's not going to work anymore. It needs repairing because they wouldn't stop and have a look at the instructions. That's the reason there's hurt and bitterness in our world. It's because as a human race we refuse to read the maker's instructions. Our God has given us his word, and in his word he's given us clear instructions how to live, how to deal with situations. But we trample that word underfoot, and we ignore its teaching, and we say, "I'm going to go my own way. I know how to live. I don't need a God to tell me how to live. I don't need him to show me where I'm going wrong, and what I've done wrong, and what my situation is." You see, we ignore the Maker's instructions, and added to that, we are under the frown of God. Because God in his holiness looks at a rebellious race of mankind, and his frown is upon us. And the frown of God brings trouble to this world. The world is a dark place then, for all sorts of reasons. But just as this light gloriously shone before the shepherds, so the message that they brought is a glorious shining light in our dark world. They said this, "Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." If you are a hurting person this evening, for whatever reason, and you feel that your future is bleak and dark, here is the light of hope and joy. It is the message of Jesus Christ. Are you a rebel? And you share some of the thoughts from time to time of men like Christopher Hitchens. And you have deep down a resentment to the warnings and the claims and the commands of God's word. Well, your heart may be hard, and perhaps your conscience convicts you of your past rebellion. But here is good news for you too. You may be someone who is living in poverty, and you fear for your future, and you're struggling to make ends meet. The riches of Jesus Christ can more than make up for those things which you feel that you no longer have in this world. So let's look here, just for a few moments, at verse 14. What did the angels say after this announcement had been made of Christ the Saviour? Glory to God in the highest. Look at these words here, this first phrase, as being like a wonderful chorus or headline. They announced the news. And the headline to this news, glory to God. Why did Christ come? Ultimately, he came to bring glory to God. It's sad when we don't notice those things in this world that do speak of God's glory. Particularly in our modern world, with satellites and radio telescopes and little robots going off to other planets, man has made discoveries of the universe which were only dreamt of by Galileo and previous generations. And they all speak of the discoveries man has made, of things which speak of the glory of God. Because the stars and the solar system and the galaxies and the vast boundless extent of the universe shout loud and clear of the glorious wisdom and power of the Creator God. They've discovered another planet in another galaxy, so they say, that is about the right distance from a star, and it goes around this star, and they say it's rather like the Earth. It probably isn't another Earth, but stop and think about this. That other galaxy is working like clockwork. Now, if this world wasn't created, you would expect the stars to be jumping around like the lottery balls in that machine. But actually they're not. They go round and round their planets, all in clockwork fashion. So does our own solar system work. Friends, it speaks loud and clear that there is a God, a glorious God. And modern man has closed his eyes to the reality of that fact. But here, in the birth of Jesus Christ, we have set forth before us the glory of God in another way. A famous hymn writer some years ago, referring to the coming of Jesus Christ, penned this little poem, or hymn. In his highest work, redemption, see his brightest glory blaze, nor can angels ever mention one that more of God displays. The coming of Jesus Christ glorifies other aspects of God, not his wisdom and his power so much as his justice and holiness. You say, how does the birth of Christ speak of the justice of God? In this way, if God's justice was not so severe, if his holiness and his standards were not so high, there would be no need for Christ, his own pure, undefiled, harmless, unblemished Son, to come to this cruel world. Why did he come? So that he may be a man to stand as the substitute for all his people and bear their punishment on Calvary's cross. Think of that. How just is God? How holy is God? That the only way he could devise to save poor sinners from eternal wrath is to send his own Son to bear the punishment in their place. It was an awful day that day when Christ was put to death. But the Bible tells us that it was all according to the predetermined will of God that he should take the place of the sinner and bear the penalty and the guilt of man's sin in his place, in their place. It speaks so gloriously of the condescension of God that he should look upon people such as we are, that in a sense are as worms before him, worthless, unworthy, and yet in condescending love, Jesus Christ came, that through the willing sacrifice that he made of himself, sinners like us could be saved. Oh, what a glorious thing then. No wonder the angel said here, glory to God in the highest. But then we have these other two phrases. See them as subtitles. The headline, glory to God. Underneath, a little summary of the key purpose or the key reason for this glory. Peace on earth. Goodwill toward men. We live in a dark world, as I said. We are under God's frown. We have broken his rules. We have messed up our lives and we have messed up this world. And yet to us, defiant, foolish, guilty sinners, the message comes, on earth, peace. There's no peace between your soul and God apart from Jesus Christ. And if you've pushed him away, and if you've dismissed his invitation, for he says to you, as to every sinner, come unto me. Come in repentance. Come confessing your guilt and your sin and your shame. And own that you are worthy of my just condemnation. And I will save you. And I will take your sin and bear it away. And I will give you a new nature. And I will fit you for heaven. Glorious blessings. It's a message of peace. And in the coming of Christ, we, as guilty as we are, can be made at peace with God. Someone once pointed out that when Christ was on that cross, he was between earth and heaven. Heaven, the home of an offended God. Earth, the abode of the offending sinners. And Christ stands between in order to mediate. One of his titles. Have you come to that mediator in a personal way? Call upon him in the secret of your own heart, saying, "Oh Lord, bless me and forgive me and fit me for glory." Lastly, goodwill toward men. We deserve God's ill will. Now you imagine. Little Tommy, he opens his parcel and in reckless impatience he starts taking it out of the box and Dad says, "Just a minute, you need to stop and you need to look at the instructions." And little Tommy said, "I don't need to do that, I know how these things work." And he goes ahead and rashly he takes it out and he goes off and breaks it, as I said. Is his father not going to be grieved? Is he not also going to be slightly frowning? I'd say, "I told you so. Why didn't you take notice of me?" Now the Lord, you see, in a sense, he's done exactly the same. He's told us, "Listen to me. Stop. Heed my word. And all will be well." But we don't. We go our own way. As we read, "All we like sheep have gone astray." We've gone everyone to his own way. And the Lord's frown is upon us. But here, the angels announce a way whereby God can extend goodwill towards us all. So if you are hurting this evening, or even if you are defiant, stop and think of this tender message. The Lord extends his goodwill toward you through Jesus Christ. And if you will call upon him, he will bless you richly and change your life. Friends, there are some here amongst us this evening. 10 years ago, they were living without Christ. They had no thoughts of the Bible. They never read it. But by the grace of God, that message of peace and goodwill has been brought to them. And they called upon the Lord, and the Lord has utterly changed their character and their life. He's changed mine, and he can change yours. And I urge you at this Christmas time, the best gift that you can embrace is Jesus Christ. And the best blessings that you can enjoy in the coming year are those that he has promised in his word to all that repent of their sin and seek him with sincere hearts.